Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday, we were here at Genesis 2, verse 23, and I introduced it by talking with you about how God communicates to the first man something about the gift he would receive in who is the first woman. It is my opinion, informed by the scripture, that God spoke to man and man spoke to God. They were in fellowship. They were in communication here in the garden in Eden. They walked together and they talked together. And during this time, part of which Adam spends naming animals, either by direct word or by his spirit, God prepared the man for surgery, the removal of the man's one rib. I say this because of Adam's response when he meets Eve. Genesis 2, verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Are we really to think Adam, when he awakens from this deep sleep so quickly and intuitively puts it together? "While I was sleeping, God must have removed something from me. Let me feel around here and see. Oh yes, I have a missing rib. Yeah, let me run my fingers over my side. Now the other side, both rib cages. Yeah, that's it. I feel like I have 12 on one side and only 11 on the other. And who are you? Did God make you out of me?" says the first man to the first woman. Was this Adam's reasoning when God brought Eve to him? I think not. Adam says that Eve is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh because God had tipped him off prior to the divine anesthetic and the deep sleep surgery. The bone corresponds to the rib, and the flesh corresponds to the piece of the flesh that is removed as part of the surgery. As Adam's language here reveals, he wakes up from his deep sleep, and he is thrilled to learn that God has made a helper suitable for him. The first man now has the first woman. And Adam knew this gift of the woman had come to him from God. God fulfilled his promise to Adam. God delivered on his promise. To me, the joy here at verse 23 is not because the woman came as a total shock to the man, or that one of his ribs and part of his flesh was missing. Rather, I believe God told Adam what he was going to do. Somehow God communicated himself to Adam, either by direct word or by God's spirit. Adam's response here at verse 23 is more like, "At last," or "Finally." "At last, the helper you promised me. Finally, here is my counterpart." And I should point out, we should not fail to be impressed by this. These are the man's first words recorded for us in Scripture. He did speak earlier, as when he named the animals, but only God heard that. Whatever Adam said before verse 23, we do not have a record of. Anytime there is a first in the Bible, we want to take note of it. Certainly when your first child spoke his or her first words, you took note. What did your daughter say? Your son? If you were quick, you might have even caught those words on camera. Well, Adam was not born of a mother. He had no childhood. He is created as a fully grown man. And here he speaks, and God put it down on paper. Let's break down what Adam said in the form of a poetic outburst filled with joy. He begins, "This is now." We can translate this as "this time" or "at last," "finally." The Hebrew expression indicates that something had been wanting in Adam. He had a deep, unfulfilled need, and now God has met that need in a most satisfying way. Calvin translates this, "Now at length I have obtained a suitable companion who is part of the substance of my flesh, and in whom I behold, as it were, another self. Adam speaks emphatically, "This living creature, which at the present time passes before me, is the companion I need, for she is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Adam expresses this forcibly and clearly. Our friend Robert Harbash puts it like this, quote, "As soon as he saw Eve for the first time, Adam said, 'This is the beat. I've got the beat. This is the music, the rhythm of my life. This is it now. This which at this present time passes before my adoring eye. Now I have what I wanted all along. Now I know what it is to strike it rich." Adam expresses joyful amazement as he delightedly beholds Eve with the full power gaze of love at first sight. That's Pastor Harbash on the exclamation of Adam in Genesis 2:23. Adam continues, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." We talked about these words already at verse 21, but let me add a little more content here. By this, Adam is not just talking the physical or bodily traits found equally in men and women. He is also speaking of their intellectual and spiritual connection. The man correctly anticipates that he and the woman will relate to one another at a very high level. This is something Adam could never have achieved with the animals. Merrill Unger says that the Hebrew word for bone signifies not only body or frame, but also essence or self. Speaking of the joy of Israel's future, listen to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 14. "Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass." Isaiah 66, 14. Our bones are not just part of our physical structure, but our bones can be animated by what is happening in the spiritual life. So Proverbs 3, verse 8 speaks about healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. That was Proverbs 3, 8. I also like Proverbs 15, verse 30. This pictures how spiritual health is good for the bones. I'm reading now Proverbs 15, 30. "Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones." So does this ice cream I love, by the way, but that's a dinner time conversation. One more. Listen to the passionate prayer of the psalmist as he expresses to the Lord how he is feeling in his bones. This is Psalm 6, verse 2. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed." Do you hear how our bones, the bones of Adam, can rejoice, they can flourish, they can be refreshed, they can be fattened, or they can be dismayed? The bones. For Adam, he means more than just physical bones like his rib. He is speaking of the essence of us, of who we are as men and as women. And then we come to the word Adam uses, woman. So that we understand the Hebrew word for woman, let me quote the simple way in which our other friend, Dr. Alders, puts it. We have a lot of friends that I'm borrowing from today. Here I quote Alders, "The Hebrew word for woman is formed by adding a feminine ending to the word for man. This is commonly done by adding a feminine suffix to the masculine word to denote the female of the species." He then gives us some examples. The male is lion, the female is lioness. The male is tiger, the female is tigress. In the English word, woman includes the word man. A woman is so named because she comes from man. From man, we get woman. Adam gives the name woman. Now, back in Genesis 2, 19 and 20, Adam named the animals, but there is quite a big difference between his mood in naming them and in what he named them, and here in what he names Eve and the expression of how he names her. Eve is, of course, no animal. She is woman, a name far above all the animal names. Eve is human. Eve is the other half of Adam. She is his counterpart. When you have a chance to get to your Bible today, when you open it and read at Genesis 2, verse 23, you will see there is a paragraph indentation there. This is a poem, really. Adam's first words are about this beautiful woman before him. God has brought her to him, and he's delighted, so he shouts out her name. Maybe you men remember when you met a woman who dazzled you. Can you women recall the thrill you felt when you thought, "This is the man for me"? Did you blush? Guys, did you find it hard to articulate words? Were you worried about impressing her so much you made a blunder? With hearts all aflutter, as we meet the person who completes us, we can imagine what Adam felt. This is a match made by heaven. God has fulfilled his word to the man. God has created the woman. God has brought these first two people together as one. Tomorrow, we shall proceed down to verse 24. It's fascinating, isn't it, to read about this encounter between male and female. People are fascinating beings. And one of the dynamics that makes us so interesting is our relationships with one another. This is why I am never bored when my wife and I go out to run some errands and she is, say, in a store that disinterests me. I'll go outside, find a bench, and sit down to people watch. And from my perch there, I see men and women walking and running, some in conversation, sometimes an argument with one another. And I wonder, who are they? Where are they from? Why are they together? What brought them together? What does their future hold? This is interesting, always interesting. And this is part of what makes Genesis intriguing reading. People. And of course, our great God. So more of this tomorrow on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.